Welcome and Sabbath blessing to precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening to this recording on a later date, Sabbath blessing, everyone. This is the time that we are going to gather for the purpose of listening to the pre-recorded. And may you continue to pray for our dear brother that he may be able to be healed and be restored and come back to us. Please, dear brother. Today, pre-recording sermon, for those that are not able to see the screen, I'm going to put it on the room as well. Just give me a few seconds. So today, June 29, 2024, we will be sharing a pre-recording sermon entitled Judgment Bound. And this, we could find it in www.lightministry.com/sda/id1518.htm. And I'm going to place it in the room for those that are not able to see the screen.
Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those that have tuned into WLMR Radio. And praise God for his merciful kindness in allowing us to fellowship in freedom, to dig into his word of inspiration, and to be edified, enlarged, and refreshed by his presence, light, and love today. So it's good to be in fellowship with you, and also to have you as my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Got a very important message as our sermon today, and so let us get into our service. Our opening song is titled, O Solemn Thought. O solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom? Yes, it is so, the judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes. He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and chair cherubim, to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sins. The solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed, each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne and blot our sins from out our book. O blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal, and aid us by thy Spirit's power, that we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly. Then on Mount Zion join the song and swell the notes of victory. All made possible by our Savior, who is our great high priest ministering and interceding for you and me and the rest of this world's inhabitants. In the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary before our God, in this judgment hour. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we again thank you for being our almighty God. And we thank you for being here in our midst. Thank you also for developing the plan of our salvation, because you do not want to see any of us lost, but instead come to Jesus Christ and gain eternal life. Dear Savior, we also thank you for being here in our midst, and thank you for carrying out the plan of salvation. Thank you for taking the road that left to crucifixion, that you may indeed defeat the devil, become the king of this world, and also our Lord God and Savior over the world. And thank you that if we have you, we have eternal life. So we thank you for being here. And dear Spirit, we also thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth, and please continue to do so. And please help us to understand this seriousness of the hour in which we live. And help our thoughts to be on spiritual, eternal interests, and not diverted anywhere else. Reveal to us our sins, the pathway of righteousness that we should be treading, as well as the judgment. For we are all judgment bound. And please help us to be serious about getting our lives right with you and prepared to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven when he comes again. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst and indeed blessing us as we dig into your word of life, the truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The title of our sermon today is Judgment Bound. Oh, solemn thought it is. And as we learned last week, that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns the second time, that it's not going to be in a silent or a secret way, but every eye on the earth and every person of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe will see the Savior return in power and great glory. There will be great noise, a shout, a heavenly voice, and a great loud trumpet that will be heard. The righteous dead will then be resurrected from their graves, and together with the living righteous, will be caught up into the air to meet their Lord in the clouds, because they chose to sacrifice all in order to follow and obey God. But the rest of the world's wicked inhabitants will be burned up by the glorious and bright devouring fire that surrounds the Lord in glory. Now, we learned two Sabbaths ago in our sermon on the curse of God's law that many people have been deceived into believing that God's free gift of justification through faith covers all their sins, whether past, present, or future. And so they believe that they do not need to keep God's Ten Commandment law, but only just accept Christ's full and complete sacrifice on the cross for them, and then their salvation is assured while they continue to live in sin. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1518.htm. If you look at quote number one, John the Revelator plainly declares to us in Revelation 19:7-8, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So we see here that the clean, white, and fine linen robe that was worn by those composing the bride or wife of Christ was the righteousness of saints. So this shows us that the white robe represented the saints' own righteousness, which of course was only made possible through Jesus Christ. But it was their righteousness. Now, John also tells us in 1 John 3:2-8, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he," or Christ, "was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him," or in Christ, "sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So while it's true that the saint's righteousness is obtained through Jesus every step of the way, yet the saints do not just give lip service to the fact that God's law is holy, just, and good, as we're told in Romans 7:12. But these followers of the Lamb live and exemplify God's law in their own lives, because they obey it. And in keeping God's law, in obeying it, they are showing that they are in Christ, and thus, like him, are not committing sin. Now, if you look at quote number two, we're told in Revelation 14:12, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So these saintly followers of God have purified themselves through an active and living faith in Jesus Christ. And they have truly become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, as we're told in 2 Peter 1:4. And they have, through faith in Jesus working in and through them, been cleansed from all sin and have overcome all defects in their characters. And they truly exemplify the following text in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in Philippians 1:21, one of the greatest verses in the Bible teaching the gospel, for to me to live is Christ. So the saints do not just profess to serve Christ. They actually live like Christ. They exemplify his character, and they keep his commandments. Now, we also saw in Revelation 19:7, where it says, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and it only takes place after his wife hath made herself ready. But not all of those who confess Christ as their Savior are living up to the light shining from the face of Jesus, their Savior. And thus they are not ready for the marriage of the Lamb to yet occur. So then this means that the delay in Christ's return to earth has been due to the fact that his bride or wife, being those followers of Christ who compose his church, are not yet prepared or ready to meet him and be taken to the marriage. This is why Christ is actively seeking to cleanse and purify his people, his church, his bride, so that he can help her to get herself ready for the marriage. And once she's ready, then he can come and put an end to all sin and also to this entire great controversy. If you look at quote number 3, in Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 7. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Christ is trying to get his church, you and me, and all the other of his followers around the world. He's trying to get us ready for the marriage so that he can come. But while we're still not ready for the marriage, then he can't come. So this then means that some of those claiming to be the followers of Christ or part of his true remnant people in church are guilty of delaying their Lord's return because they have not yet allowed him to fully cleanse, wash, purify, and sanctify them with the water of his word. Quite a solemn thought indeed. We claim to be Christians, and yet By resisting his efforts to cleanse us, we are delaying his return. So Jesus wants to thoroughly wash all of us with the water of his word, to cleanse us, to purify us. And in order to save us, Jesus has brought these words of eternal life to each and every one of us. And all who receive and faithfully follow these words of life will indeed obtain salvation. But Jesus also warned us that all who refuse to receive and follow these words of life and thus remain unwashed and filthy would be judged unworthy of everlasting life. If you look at quote number 4 from John 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day." So there's a judgment that's going to take place in these last days. And before anyone can be judged, they must appear in court before a judge and then undergo a trial. And in any trial, there are actually three phases of judgment. There's the investigative phase, there's the sentencing phase, and then there's the execution phase of the sentence. If you look at quote number 5, in the first phase of the investigative judgment, all evidence is presented. Then the evidence is reviewed and it's weighed before a decision is made as to whether guilt exists or not. If it's determined that the accused party is actually innocent, then he or she is declared not guilty. Their trial is then ended with an acquittal, and they are rewarded with complete freedom to live. Now, Paul speaks of this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verses 24 to 5, and he states, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." So some individuals, because they've confessed and forsaken their sins, have sent these sins beforehand to Jesus, and he has completely forgiven and covered these sins with his precious blood. So when the judgment comes for them, there is no sin to be seen because they are already forgiven and innocent. And they will then be declared not guilty and rewarded with everlasting life. But others have refused to do this. And so their unconfessed and unforsaken sins will not have gone beforehand to Jesus, but will remain unforgiven to condemn them in their judgment trial. And they will be weighed in the heavenly balance and found wanting, declared guilty, and will then be rewarded with destruction. Now, the Bible plainly tells us this in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So each and every one of us will be judged by the word that Christ wanted to cleanse us by. The word of life, the holy scriptures, the inspired word of God. And if we have followed this word and connected ourselves with Christ and he with us, if we have confessed and forsaken all our sins, then they have gone beforehand And when our judgment comes, we're innocent. We're acquitted and we're given life. But if we haven't lived up to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we have refused to be cleansed by the word. And thus we will be found guilty and will lose everlasting life. But how will God determine whether we have been good or evil, as we read in Ecclesiastes? Since the only way for fallen human beings to be saved is by accepting the Lord God Jesus Christ as their Savior and substitute, and having all of their sins confessed, forsaken, and forgiven by His precious blood, merits, and righteousness, and anyone who has not accepted Christ as their Savior would automatically be destined for destruction just because they refused Him and are not covered by His blood, then there has to be a record kept of this fact to prove it. And there is just such a record book that's being kept. You look at quote number 6. All those who have accepted Christ as their Lord God and Savior are recorded in a book called the Book of Life of the Lamb. You can find this in Revelation 13:8. You can also see this book recorded in Philippians 4:3, Revelation 3:5, 17:8, 20:12, 15, 21:27, and 22:19. So you can see that this record book of life is directly connected with the plan of salvation that was carried out through the life and sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And this record book of life is absolutely necessary to keep in order to avoid any claim that someone was saved or lost because God Himself decided their fate through either favoritism or partiality or predestination, or perhaps through animosity or by being arbitrary. This book would prove that those that accepted Christ did so of their own free will, and those who rejected Christ did so of their own free will. Now, also to prove that God was completely impartial in this issue of whether a human being was saved or destroyed, in addition to this book of life, other detailed records must be kept that documented the entire life's history of every person ever conceived on the earth. And we're told in Psalms 139:16 of this fact, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." So this shows us that each and every human being ever conceived has a record book with their own name on it in heaven. And we're also told in Job 26:19, "Also now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." You can also see these books described in Exodus 32, verses 32 and 3, Psalms 56, verse 8, 69, verse 28, and Malachi 3:16, showing that these record books are in heaven. Now, these heavenly record books of each individual have to precisely document every aspect of an individual's life and character, no matter how long they lived or how short they lived. And thus it could be easily determined why they were either saved or lost through these books. For instance, these books have to include every sin and disobedience against God and His commandments, as well as every good deed and obedience to God and His law, And it has to be recorded in detail as to the time and date, as well as documenting all the internal motivating factors that led to the committing of these actions. These record books have to show every time the devil tempted them to sin, as well as every time God, the Holy Spirit, encouraged them through their conscience to instead obey God's law. These books also have to document the amount of times that the truth had been given them, under what conditions, and whether the truth was resisted or followed by them. These books also have to document whether they accepted Christ as their Savior and substitute, and especially whether they continued to follow Christ from that point and date onward, or later refused Him. Now, if you look at quote number 7, these record books also have to document exactly where each person was born, whether it was in a wicked city or community, or in a good city and community. And they also record what type of influences surrounded each person as they grew up, which, of course, these influences would affect the particular type of characters they formed. And we're told this in the scriptures. If you look at Psalms 87, verses 4 to 6. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. So when writing is done on any particular individual, it's noted in their record book where they were born, whether it was good or bad influences that they grew up around, and everything connected with their life. And it is these very record books that will be brought forth as evidence in our own investigative judgment and trial to determine whether we are saved in Christ or whether we are lost. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, this investigative trial is brought out. We're told, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, I believe you can understand why such an intricate and detailed recording of every single human being is absolutely necessary to perform. God is righteous, and he's also merciful. And he is completely fair and impartial in any judgment that's made, especially when it comes to any of his creation being lost or saved. God even takes into account whether we grew up surrounded by good or evil influences in regards to the character that we formed. But just in case there were any questions as to why a particular human being was either saved or destroyed, then these record books would be the proof necessary to show that God is fully righteous and just in all his ways. these record books show and will clear God of any charges of improper or faulty judgment. But this also means, dear ones, that each and every one of us are judgment bound. And it also means that it is by the decisions we make each day, which decisions then lead us to perform certain actions, which actions then cause us to form particular habits, which habits then make up our individual characters. It is through these daily decisions that we ourselves are actually determining what our destiny will be for time and eternity. It's all recorded in our record books. And these record books determine whether we should be saved or lost in the judgment. So all God does is to conduct a thorough investigation of our own record books to determine the plain truth of whether we really desired life or death for ourselves. So we are deciding whether we obtain life or death in the judgment by the decisions that we make every day. Now the next question. When will our own investigative trial take place? Does our judgment trial occur when Christ comes? Does it take place after Christ comes? When will our characters be investigated into, judgment pronounced upon us, and our destiny determined? If you look at quote number 8 from Revelation 22, verses 11 to 12, we're told, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now these verses show us very plainly several amazing and really solemn things. The first thing that it shows us is that just before Jesus comes, all people on the earth will have already been judged and pronounced by him to forever be from that point in time on either righteous and holy or unjust and filthy. So then this means that the probation of all people will have closed just before Christ comes. The second thing it shows us is that when Jesus comes, he brings with him the reward of either eternal life or eternal death to all people. So then this means that any who are lost will not get a second chance at salvation. Their destiny has already been decided before Christ comes. The third thing this reveals to us is that any who decide to wait until the second coming of Christ before they get themselves ready for their judgment will have waited too long. The judgment would have already taken place, and since they weren't prepared, they would be lost. That's why the scriptures plainly tell us in Hebrews 3:15 that today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And also in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So it is now, today, that's the accepted time to humble yourselves and come to Christ and find salvation. Not tomorrow, because your life may end before tomorrow, and thus it will never come for you to get ready. So today is the day for you to get ready. Don't put it off. And please don't harden your hearts in pride and decide to wait until a more opportune time to get ready. But instead, do it now. Do not become one of those who sing this bitter, wailing song that's recorded in Jeremiah 8:20. Look at quote number 9. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Why weren't they saved? The harvest passed them by. They weren't ready for it to end. They weren't getting ready now, but were waiting for a better opportunity to get ready. And the harvest came and passed them by. And they are lost. Dear ones, the signs of the times occurring all around us prove that the second coming of our Lord God Jesus Christ is now even at the doors. So this definitely means that you must now get ready for your own investigative judgment to begin, because your trial can start at any time. This means that you must now make sure that all your sins are confessed, forsaken, and sent beforehand to Jesus to be forgiven by his precious cleansing blood and word of life. You must now make sure that you're clothed and covered with Christ's robe of righteousness and not with your own filthy garments. And at this late hour, if you should decide to wait for a better time to get ready and prepared, then in the meantime, your trial may unexpectedly begin and then end, and you will be judged unprepared and lost. So, dear precious souls, now, this very day, is the time for you to get prepared for your trial and judgment, which will investigate into every aspect of your life's history, and nothing can be hid. It's all recorded there. So in confessing your sins to God, he already knows all about them. Thus you don't have to hide anything from him, but you can be open and honest with him, because he already knows all about you. So now, today, is the time for you to get ready, because tomorrow may be too late. And I sincerely pray and hope that this following verse will apply to each and every listening soul here. Quote number 10, Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, she that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out their name out of the book of life, but I will confess their name before my Father and before his angels. May this indeed apply to each and every one of us, because we have gotten ourselves ready and prepared now, and Christ's word of life has indeed washed and cleansed us from all sinfulness, because he's living within us, and we're allowing him to live through us, letting our light shine for his glory. But this was just the first phase of the investigative judgment that we've looked into. And next time, we'll learn about the second and third phases of the judgment. But praise God for not leaving us in darkness, but allowing us to see and understand the truths and to also recognize the time of day, the time of night in which we live, and that it's time for us to get ready. And also, praise our Savior for making it possible for us to be saved and redeemed by His precious blood, and thus acquitted, declared not guilty in the judgment, and may enter into eternal life, all because of His love for us. Our closing song is entitled, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Again, praise our Savior for making this redemption and salvation possible, all through His precious blood and His word of life, washing us clean, spotless, without blemish, and clothed in His robe of righteousness, made perfect indeed. It's time for a closing prayer, and any that would like to give that prayer, please feel free.
Dear Lord, thank you for this happy Sabbath today. Me learning about you, new things in life. And I pray for my family. And I pray as well for myself. My name is Courtney Lully. And I pray that one day I hurry up and learn the Sabbath real good so I can get that good knowledge I need. And I pray that I don't do nothing bad no more. And I pray that God take away all the bad sins from me so I won't do nothing bad no more, because we all ain't perfect in life. And I pray that you woke me up this morning to see another day. And I pray to wake up to listen to Bob on the speaker. He's a good preacher and acting. I thank God for him and his family and everybody I know. And I thank you for this happy Sabbath worship and God on his birthday. And I thank you to wish to see another day to study the Sabbath. And thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray for myself and everybody. Amen. Thank you.
Well, dear ones, we have come to the close of our meeting with the recording. I hope and pray everybody was blessed. And if any one of the brothers or sisters would like to also pray for today's meeting, as we will also depart, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us and seeing us through another week, oh God. Thank you for the lesson that you have provided for us today, Father God. I pray that you continue to prick our spirits and our hearts, Father God, so that we will continue to come boldly to your throne, Father God, and build a relationship with you where our lives will be saved, and in saving us, Father God, you will touch others who are in our lives as well, God. Please forgive us of our sins, our iniquities, and transgressions, and everything that we've said, thought, done, consciously and unconsciously, known, oh God. I thank you for guiding us through this week, Father God, and I pray that you will give us the strength to get us through the rest of the beginning of next week, oh Lord Jesus. I pray that as we depart and go our separate ways this Sabbath, Father, that you will continue to minister to our hearts and to our children, oh Lord Jesus. And I thank you for clearing the weather up so that we'll be able to take our children out on our nature walks that we have every weekend, oh Lord. We continue to provide for every need, and I thank you for doing so, oh Lord Jesus. Answer all of our prayers, Father God, all those that we've just had lingering in our minds and in our hearts, oh Lord Jesus, I pray. Touch and heal those who are not feeling well, God, whether it be mentally or physically, oh Father God, I pray that you give them the strength that they need to be able to continue throughout the day, oh Lord. Continue to speak to us on a day-to-day basis, oh Lord Jesus, and thank you for doing so. Thank you for not leaving us or forsaking us for any reason, oh Lord Jesus. Thank you for correcting us when we're wrong, Father God, and giving us the strength to be able to come to you and give our weaknesses to you, O Lord. Thank you for your message and for your word and for who you are and the love that you have given us, O Lord Jesus. I pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We can have the opportunity now to be able to lift our dear brother, hoping by God's grace that he's feeling today better than any other day, and then he may be able to come back whole. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, we thank you. Father, thank you for allowing this day to go through. Thank you for giving us also the strength to be able to see it through, Father Jesus, for without you, we could have never done anything. Thank you for allowing the message to be as current today as 2016. And also, Father Jesus, for the dear soul that had prayed at the end. I pray that wherever he may be, that you will be able to grant him what he had prayed for. Father, we thank you for everything that you have provided for us. We truly don't know what is ahead, but we are so grateful that you are in full control. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, Father Jesus. Thank you for everything that you have done for each and every one of us. Father, we would have never known that we was going to be here after so many years. So many had passed, so many asleep. But you may continue, Father Jesus, to give us the strength to meet every circumstances according to your will and not our own. And whatever it is we cannot control or whatever it is that we cannot try to solve, we have a great creator and redeemer and the power of the Holy Spirit that if we trust in him, not in our time, but in your perfect time, Father Jesus, let your will be done. Put your healing hands upon anyone that is in our midst, even those that are not here, Father. Extend every prayer to all our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, Father. And we thank you for being so merciful. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our unchristlike spirit, Father. Help us to be able to go a little higher. We thank you, Father Jesus, for this day. Bless each and every one of us, even the little ones among us, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This is our after service. If anyone would like to be able to share either the testimony or anything that you would like to share. Yeah, that was Kirk Courtney. Yeah. You can be able to do so. Okay.
I just want to give a quick little testimony. It's not long. It had to do with, I was getting things ready for Sabbath and I had to do some running around and I, took a lift on my way back or on my way there. And it was really interesting because the person driving, the lift was a dear woman and we got to talking about various things, especially about the things of God. And I was sharing, she was asking in a way, if I was, going to the store for if I was going to work. So I shared I was getting ready for Sabbath. And that stirred her up to ask if you were a Seventh-day Adventist. So I shared with her and said that, well, I'm a Bible-believing Sabbath keeper. That stirred her up some more. She said, well, I've always wanted to know, when is this Sabbath? I've heard it is on Saturday. I heard it is on Sunday. When is this Sabbath? So I shared with her when the Sabbath is and according to the word of God. And as the conversation went on, her interest was piqued even more. So I'll make this short because in the end, by God's amazing grace, and she professed out of her mouth, well, that's what I'm going to be doing then. I want to go ahead and finally try and keep the Sabbath the way that God said keep the Sabbath. I said, well, the Lord will be very pleased with you if you're doing that, and you will see. So I just wanted to share that so that it can be known that the Lord is moving on different hearts all over to want to know more about his word and also especially about his law and the Holy Sabbath. And with the things that are unfolding on the fringes here and there now stirring up again concerning about bringing the law, well, the Ten Commandments into school and the Bible into schools, people are becoming more aware of what is going on, I think. So I just wanted to say that the Lord is really moving on hearts. And I don't know this person from anywhere. And she had no problem wanting to go ahead and ask those questions and sincerely receive the answers and make the statement. And so I just pray that that she does continue to do that. And by God's grace, that's my prayer.
I have a petition from our dear brethren, and I want to share testimony. I have a dear sister that her family members, her cousin have four children. And I just happened to meet them when they were really little, when that sister used to go to their home and minister to them. Well, now they are pretty much grown. One is college. The other one just finished graduating from high school. And I didn't really meet the other two, but the testimony that I wanted to share was that just briefly, she let me talk to them. And then I was just so surprised how everybody was so grown. And when she allowed me to talk to each one of them, and there was only one little one that it seems like every time when she go there, he used to be sleeping. So I finally got to speak to the smallest one. Well, my testimony was from the time that I got to talk to, I think it's the second oldest. He called me like the next day, but it was during my devotional. So from the 20, it was from, let me see, from the 24th, no, not 24th. It gotta be a little bit earlier than that. Well, he calls mostly every day to be able to hear what the devotional and the Bible has to say. And it seems that he came in for few, but he also left. So I pray that the dear family would join to pray for this gentleman. He seems to have a love for the Lord and a love of learning the truth. So I have been sharing the spirit of prophecy and the Bible at the same time. Because when we read the devotional, as soon as I finish my devotional, I go into the scripture. And when we come into the scripture, he has a lot of questions. And he is calling mostly every day. So he's learning little bit by little bit. So I pray that you will lift up Shad, C-H-A-D, and his other sibling as well. His older brother had a little accident with a car, so he's injured in one hand. And that's who at the beginning I was speaking to. But now it's the second brother. Let's hope by God's grace that it will be the four brothers. So please keep Shad, and the older one is called Brandon. And then I'll get the two other little ones as well. So I just wanted to share that. So since we are here, anybody would like to share a hymn or scripture song before we part? Just a minute. Brother Dick, we soon going to call you to lead us out. I have a request for my dear sister. I'm just going to share the screen for the lyrics of the hymn. Just give me a few seconds. And then I'll pass the mic to her. Great is our faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion stay fails not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All thy help needeth, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold weakness. To thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am need of thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, to me. Pardon for sin and peace that has been done. Thy own dear presence to share and to guide. Strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with thousands beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.
Or make me blind for once.
Does anybody else have any other requests? Is Brother Dick around so he can be able to sing his favorite song?
Keep looking up, like my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Brother Dick, we miss you. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless. And may you have a blessed new week.